The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 22nd, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Monday afternoon. A gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area. And I know the weekend wasn't what Auburn fans wanted it to be. The weekend may have been even worse, depending on what NFL team that you cheer for. And then today, Auburn fans got hit once again. We didn't need any help with content today. We felt pretty confident that we could fill a two-hour show on a Monday after Auburn football loses their first game of the year in dramatic fashion, a lot of things out of their control, right? We felt like we could talk about that. We felt like we could talk about the new AP poll and how they continue to prove themselves as unworthy of being AP poll voters. We figured we could talk about permanent opponents that got released today for the next 4 years for SEC football. Heck, we may have even gone into some of the results from college football and the NFL. But we have a feeling that the news that will dominate today's show is what happened with Auburn basketball about an hour ago. Christian, happy Monday, sir. Before we discuss the tiger in the room, happy Monday to you, sir.
Yeah, happy...
Or, I'm sorry,
Monday.
Monday to you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, Monday. What an emotional weekend, just kind of all the way around, man. You look at, obviously, the game on Saturday, which we are going to discuss. You feel like a lot of Auburn fans, I know we're kind of in that boat as well, of wanting to emotionally be done, emotionally unattached with everything that happened on Saturday, just because, or not even because of how everything went, but just because you don't have time in college football anymore. You now have to begin to turn your focus now to a top 10 football team going to Kyle Field, going to College Station, and you kind of want to disassociate with everything that happened this past weekend, but obviously some things need to be said. That's what is controlling the social media sports world right now, whichever way that you decide to look at it, whether you agree, whether you disagree with about anything that happened in those 60 minutes. That's what's controlling the sports world. But now you wake up today and you begin to hear a little bit of rumors. We talked about it probably an hour before it became official of, have you heard anything about this? And we were like, yes, but no, but yes. And then all of a sudden, about 20 minutes after that, you had major beat reporters, major writers releasing statements. And then about 30 minutes ago, the 15-minute long video of Bruce Pearl essentially saying it's time. And yeah, didn't think that we needed any help. This would have been great Tuesday news, Bruce. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's going to now dominate what we talk about here today, at least this first half hour.
Yep, the breaking news coming out from Auburn. As Christian mentioned, it was reported by pretty much everybody in the sports media world and then confirmed by Auburn University, by Auburn Athletics, and by Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl has stepped down and retired as the head coach of Auburn men's basketball. A guy that was here for 11 years as the head man of Auburn basketball. Someone that took this program to unprecedented heights, man. So I've seen a lot of people say that he revived Auburn basketball. Folks, he built Auburn basketball. Auburn basketball never, ever, ever got to the heights that it did in the 11 years that Bruce Pearl was here. 14-minute video put out by Auburn basketball of Bruce Pearl basically taking his office and put it right at center court of Neville Arena. And he thanked every single person that has ever helped him get to be the head coach at Auburn. All his previous stops, all of his previous jobs, all of his previous bosses, all the donors, all the players, all the families. Right in, of course, the Auburn family, the Auburn fans. But the news today that Auburn fans are devastated over is that Bruce Pearl has stepped down and retired as the head men's basketball coach at Auburn University. Now, the reports are also that Stephen Pearl, his son, will be the one to take over and be the head coach at Auburn men's basketball.
It's not reports anymore.
It's official now?
Yes.
Well, we felt that that was the case, and now it is official that Stephen Pearl will be the new head coach of the Auburn men's basketball program for 2025 and 2026.
Officially, of about 30 seconds ago from Auburn basketball.
Today's the first day of men's basketball practice for Auburn, and so the timing on this was not a coincidence. This was not something that he just woke up today and decided did BP. And so, it hurts, man. It absolutely hurts. And you and I sat here and watched the 14-minute video on our laptop before we went live. Thankfully, they dropped it enough time so we could watch it before we came on the air. And you and I sat in silence. 14 minutes, didn't say a word, and just watched as Bruce Pearl spoke, and he said, "It's time. When you know, you know." And he said, "When I couldn't give it my all, and I couldn't be the best I could be, that's when I would hang it up." He admits that that time is now, and Bruce Pearl has retired as the men's basketball coach at Auburn.
Yeah, Stephen Pearl, again, his son taking over now as that head coaching job. And our phone lines are going to open up here in just a little bit. We know that y'all have thoughts and want to have conversations about this and Auburn football as well, but thought that it was necessary for us to be able to bring this information and be able to talk about it just a little bit. Towards the end of that video, it was almost half and half of 7 minutes of thank you so much, this is what Auburn has meant, and then it was about 7 minutes of now we begin to look forward, now we begin to look at what is, we begin to look at what is next. And Bruce addressed the Senate discussions, he addressed the government positions, things like that, and said that if that was the case, that would mean that I would have to leave Auburn. That would mean that my family would have to leave Auburn. And we're not doing that. We are staying here. We are staying on the plains. We are staying in Auburn, Alabama. And Bruce Pearl essentially was offered a position by the university as a higher up. I don't remember the exact title.
I believe that
was given, but it's almost the right hand man of the AD.
Hold on. I had it just a second ago.
It wasn't like executive chairman of AD or something.
It was like assistant to the AD or something like that, I think is what the official title was. I'll find it in a minute.
But regardless, again, that showing that Bruce is not going anywhere, that he has his home in Auburn. He is now going to essentially be the spokesperson for Auburn. He is going to be one of the faces of not only Auburn basketball, but Auburn athletics as well. And although there's news that comes with that and you feel great that he's not leaving, and obviously one of the most recognizable faces in college basketball, if not college sports in general, but unfortunate from the standpoint of coming off a Final Four year, you felt like there were still a couple more years. Even that Rothstein interview where he said, "I don't have much time left," you didn't think that that was just 18 days.
Yeah, it says in the official press release that Auburn is going to have Bruce Pearl be an ambassador to the university as a special assistant to the athletic director is what he will be. And in my opinion, what that means is be a face, be a name, be a voice for Auburn and support, raise money, build awareness, continue to do the things that he did off the floor as the head coach of Auburn men's basketball. Keep doing that without being the head coach of Auburn men's basketball.
He, paraphrasing, not quoting directly, but instead of running for senator, I'm Auburn's senator now. The way that I'm going to to just be here and be able to run everything, and still said he's going to go and support everything. And so as bittersweet as it is, I mean, you feel like if that was the case, then nobody's ever going to truly have those hard feelings towards him. And again, how nice is it that he is going to stay and be a big part of the programs of the future?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Bruce and his wife Christy stay in Auburn and be a part of it with their family being here. And now with Stephen Pearl, again, it is official. Auburn has made the announcement that Stephen Pearl will be the next head coach of Auburn men's basketball. And reports are saying this is not an interim tag. This is not an interim thing. This is not a one-year rental. This is not a let's see how this goes.
No.
This will be a multi-year contract for Stephen Pearl. He will be the next head coach of Auburn men's basketball for years to come. And that was a big question immediately that I had was, okay, is Stephen going to take over and, yeah, kind of be like a one-year experiment to see what he can do? Because I want to remind people, this is his first head coaching job. This is it. This is his first big boy head coaching job, Stephen Pearl stepping into these shoes. And they're pretty big ones to step into, Christian, but he will be the next head coach, and reports are saying that this will be a multi-year contract.
Yes, and that was kind of the big discussion and conversation that a bunch of people started having a year or two ago of, okay, if Bruce only has 2 or 3 years remaining, does Stephen go and take one of those mid-major jobs just to have head coaching experience, or does he stay here? Obviously decided to stick it out, and Bruce did something with his basketball team that a lot of teams haven't done or are now beginning to kind of implement. And it's almost the football mindset of Bruce Pearl was almost serving as that GM. And you had Steven and Bogue and everybody in there kind of being the assistants, right? The assistants or the coordinators that still played much bigger roles than just a defensive analyst, right? I mean, Bruce Pearl was one of the best defensive minds in college basketball. When you go and you look at the success defensively that Auburn had, a lot of that credit goes to the game plan that Stephen Pearl had. And so obviously, when you look at that side of things, you see that he's ready from at least the X's and O's on defense to take that step up. You're hoping that the head coach tag isn't as big of a jump at Auburn as it would be at possibly other schools, where all of a sudden you have this many more responsibilities.
Stephen Pearl's contract is 5 years, according to the press release. According to Auburn, it will be a 5-year contract. Don't believe the money is in there just yet, but that's what's happening here. As Auburn announces earlier today that Bruce Pearl has stepped down and retired as the head men's basketball coach, and his son Stephen Pearl is the new head coach of Auburn men's basketball. We will open the phone lines here momentarily. If you want to be a part of the show, give us your thoughts on Auburn men's basketball, on Bruce Pearl, on Stephen Pearl, and then, of course, on the football side of things as well. So we'll open those up here in just a moment. But if you want to get your thoughts in right now, the best way to do that is to send us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Again, the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. Give us your immediate thoughts on Auburn announcing that Bruce Pearl will retire as the men's basketball coach here on the Plains. And then, of course, Stephen now taking over as the head coach as well. And that's not really a surprise, right? That's not really a major shockwave to anybody that Stephen is going to be taking over. And I think at a later time, I would like to address that. But man, you're talking about the greatest coach that's ever stepped foot into Auburn men's basketball. And I think there's a legitimate argument that Bruce Pearl, all around in all facets and all reasonings, there's an argument that Bruce Pearl's the greatest coach that Auburn University has ever hired. I think that's a legitimate argument that Bruce Pearl, from his on-court performance to his off-court relationships to the reputation that he basically rebuilt.
Yeah, the embodiment.
The embodiment of Auburn, the praising of Auburn, the love for Auburn, and putting them back on, honestly, putting Auburn on the national landscape of college basketball and just Auburn in general, I would love to hear some arguments against it. on why Bruce Pearl isn't in that role, but I think that's where I'm at today, is that the greatest coach that's ever been at Auburn, period, is no longer a coach.
You feel like one of the best examples of that, rather than it being just words versus words, is the fact of what Neville Arena is. When Neville Arena was built, say it like it is, it was a smaller arena because back when it was the Coliseum, if you filled the lower bowl, it looked full, right? The other places were very pick and choosy. The camera never really went too high because it didn't want to show that it was empty. You built a little bit of a smaller arena knowing that if you filled that up 80%, it looks a lot fuller. Just saying that like it is. And now look at what Neville Arena is. You have 4-year waiting lists just to get a chance to go to an SEC game and sit in a seat. You have the place filled out every single game. It's the best home environment in college basketball. That's stuff that Bruce Pearl built. That is what Bruce Pearl was able to do to put national relevancy into Auburn basketball that had not been there since Charles Barkley. And now you're at the point where it's not a surprise to see Auburn and Duke playing at 8 o'clock on ESPN. Bruce talked about that whole week of Auburn going to Cameron Indoor, of how awesome it was that Auburn felt worthy of an opponent for Duke, which is crazy to think because how many years have we sat there and watched college basketball on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Saturday night of a Sonic blockbuster, and it's UConn and North Carolina or Kentucky and Arizona. Auburn is now legitimately in that conversation and now a pride to go and play. Whether it's home or whether it's away, you get Auburn on your resume, it's a win or a loss, it's because of Bruce Pearl and what he was able to do.
You talk about the building that Auburn plays in. I want to remind folks, that was Auburn Arena when it was built.
Yes.
Bruce Pearl allowed that and convinced a family in the Nevilles who are huge ambassadors of Auburn and huge supporters of Auburn and did it out of the kindness of their hearts, yes. But that place was called Auburn Arena, and because of the success that Bruce Pearl had, a generous family stepped up and paid, I don't remember the dollar amount, millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to support that program to put their name on the side of the building. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. They didn't have to do that. They wanted to. They wanted to support a program that was winning. Bruce Pearl got somebody to put their name on the building because of what he was doing inside of it. It's pretty incredible. And to your points as well, Auburn became a national recognized brand in college basketball. Heck, it became a more recognizable brand in basketball than it did in football. Because of the lack of success with football, yes, but because of the proof of success with basketball. And you want to talk about impeccable timing. Not that we wanted Auburn football to be down or have enjoyed Auburn football being down, but think about the idea that Bruce Pearl came to the Plains and made Auburn basketball the greatest it's ever been and gave Auburn fans more joy than they've ever had in that sport at the exact same time that Auburn football took a turn. After 2017, Auburn football hasn't done anything. And that's when Auburn basketball really took off. 2019 was the last decent football team Auburn has had. What happened that year? Auburn basketball goes to the Final Four. The timing was incredible. And Bruce Pearl was able to give Auburn fans for basketball what football couldn't. And there are some longtime Auburn fans that thought that could never happen. That's why today is so painful. It's a celebration, and there should be celebration for Bruce Pearl at a later date. I believe it'll be named Bruce Pearl Court at Neville Arena.
It should be by the time Auburn steps foot in there.
I believe it should. I believe he'll get a statue. I believe he will be praised until he's no longer with us in general, and he should get that. But it is a tough day for Auburn fans because a legend has stepped away from the game. But as you mentioned, and as we get to break, the good thing is Bruce Pearl stepping away from Auburn basketball but he's not stepping away from Auburn. And I think that in itself is a really big win. Let's take our first break here in hour number one. We are opening the phone lines as we speak. If you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call. You can do so right now. 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390 is the phone line number, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. We're back after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And phone lines are open. Now, they were not to start the show, but they are now. So if you'd like to be a part of it, if you have thoughts, I'm sure you do. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. It could be about Auburn basketball with the news of Bruce Pearl stepping down and retiring as the head coach of Auburn men's basketball. If you have thoughts on that, you can give us a call. 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, as many of you have already, at 334-784-1070. We are going to be talking football here coming up in just a couple of minutes. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will be with us in hour number two as well. Lots to get to on today's show. Somebody texted and said that he's going to be an ambassador as Bruce Pearl, which we did see that he is sticking around at Auburn, will still be employed by Auburn, but sounds like he's, again, going to be a face and a voice for Auburn University, Auburn Athletics, go out. And as I mentioned, I think that is a pretty good way to put it. Basically do the things he was already doing off the floor, just more of that. Going out to fundraising events, going out to different media availability things and more charity work and things like that. I mean, that's what he's going to be. He's going to be a face and a voice for Auburn Athletics. And so that's what Bruce will do. It is now also official that Stephen Pearl will be the new head coach of Auburn men's basketball. He has been officially named that on a 5-year deal, according to Auburn Athletics. And as this person says, that he says, Bruce Pearl is the Auburn GOAT of any sport, the greatest of all time. And I think that is probably the case. It says, this was not a surprise to the program. Stephen has been ready. Will he replace Bruce? No, but Auburn fans are 1,000% behind Stephen Pearl. Let's keep this rolling with a very talented basketball team this season. And so there will be further conversations down the road about Stephen Pearl and what he can be as a head coach. But today is more so about Bruce Pearl. And to give you an idea of what legacy Bruce Pearl leaves behind, 246 all-time wins at Auburn. That's a program record. 2 Final Fours, 5 SEC championships, and 11 NCAA tournament wins, and also has 7 NBA draft picks. Let me say those numbers again. 246 wins to 125 losses, 2 Final Fours, 5 SEC championships, 11 tournament wins, and 7 guys drafted to the National Basketball Association. It's a hell of a legacy, man. One that is unmatched, I think. And I look at this for a moment, Christian, on the bigger picture, too. Man, the sport of college basketball just lost another big coach.
Yeah.
Another big legendary Hall of Fame coach has stepped away from the game. He's one of many that have done it in the last 5 or less years.
Well, and you feel like Bruce was at that age of a bunch of these coaches that have all had those conversations of, we have 2 or 3 more years. I know Coach Sampson at Houston is in that same boat of his son possibly looking to take over the reins once he is done, and he has mentioned it a couple of times as well of, yeah, he's most likely, we have all of the tracks ready for him to kind of just walk right into my office once I call my final day And yeah, there's a bunch of coaches that are kind of at that age right now, and you feel like college basketball has been so good. You're starting to see some of the younger guys as well kind of make their footprint in the college basketball world. I mean, you saw what Todd Golden did just last year with the University of Florida, and you're seeing that success kind of work its way throughout coaching in general, right? We've talked about that, of the passing the torch in college football with some of these younger coaches making a big impact in the world. You're hoping that Stephen Pearl can kind of follow suit with the younger coaches of college basketball as well.
Yeah, a lot of big names have left this sport. Coach K, Roy Williams, Boeheim, Jay Wright. I mean, big names, man, have walked away from the sport of college basketball. And Bruce Pearl's another one. He retires as the head coach of Auburn men's basketball. And his son, Steven, takes over as the new head coach at Auburn University for the men's basketball program. We'll talk about it more as we go along, but we will flip gears momentarily. And unfortunately, talk some football when we come back as the Tigers and Hugh Freeze drop their first game of the year. We talk about the Auburn-Oklahoma game next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us here on this Monday, a very heavy news Monday with so much going on. And as we said at the beginning of the show, we didn't need any more content today. We've got it. And this is going to be a jam-packed show, yes, but also a jam-packed week because now with all the Auburn basketball stuff that's taking place, right, with Bruce Pearl stepping down and retiring as the head coach, and Stephen Pearl now being introduced as the new men's basketball coach. His introductory press conference is now Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., so we will be there covering that, and really fascinated to hear what he's going to say, and I'm sure Bruce will be there. The whole Pearl family will be there. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people at that thing on Wednesday morning, yeah. So we'll be there, and we'll talk more about that as we go, but we figured today would be dominated by football conversations, and that's where we go now, and as painful as the Bruce Pearl news is, what happened to Hugh Freeze in Auburn football Saturday afternoon in Norman, Oklahoma, is a different type of pain. This was a frustration pain. This was one of those pains that when you go to the dentist, they say, okay, this is going to be uncomfortable, and then they shove a needle in your gums, and you quiver in your chair, and you wonder, and they're like, are you okay? Did that hurt? Sorry. Has the numb not kicked in yet from the Novocaine? No, sir, it hasn't, right? That's what happened on Saturday for Auburn football when they went to Norman, and they lose by 7 points, Christian. 7 points is what Auburn football lost by on Saturday. Is that significant at all? 24-17, final score. Oklahoma beats Auburn. Hugh Freeze and the Tigers lose beats their Auburn? First game of the year.
It's a beats Auburn? Is that how it has to be phrased?
We don't have to say it that way. No, we can say Oklahoma came away with the win.
Sure.
Well, that doesn't feel right either. Oklahoma
finished with more points than the other two teams on the field.
Yeah, Oklahoma was given the win. Does that sound right? Does that sound about accurate or so? How would our listeners phrase the results of this game? You can
depends
give us a
which
call.
One we're talking about.
Yeah, you can give us a call or shoot us a text. Give us a call. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text at 784-1067. Oklahoma has more points than Auburn, 24-17 is what we'll say for now. My goodness, there are so many different angles and directions that you can go on this, and genuinely, I feel like we could talk about just this game for the next week.
Yeah.
For both hours of the show, for the next 10 hours straight, we could talk about how this game went, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the really ugly. But I think, in general, there are two main directions I would like to go here. I would like to go with the obvious, that Auburn was robbed, that Auburn was screwed, that Auburn was basically ripped of a possible victory with things that were genuinely not in their control. The other direction I would like to go is, even with all of that, Auburn still had plenty of chances to win this football game. So, yeah. Which way would you like to go first, sir? Should we start with the obvious and then work our way towards the other side of this fork in the road that we're on?
So, what we, I guess, changed what we initially talked about just because there was a lot of things that were going on. But we know that today was going to be a little bit more of the emotional day. Like, they're letting the emotions out, and tomorrow would be a much deeper dive into the game within itself, the game between the sidelines and
which
end
would
zone.
Be road B, basically. In the scenario I've
yes,
displayed.
But I mean, we yeah. can. I'm good to at least briefly mention both of them. And again, it's at the point right now where you feel like most Auburn fans are numb to the entire side of road A, of the emotional side, and would love to just find a way to let it be released from their memory forever, because yeah, there were so many things that happened in Norman. And again, there's whenever you have multiple ways of going about it, this will probably be more of a conversation that I'll want to have tomorrow, but it's like, all right, it's the good news sandwich, right? There's good news, there's a little bit of bad news I'm going to sprinkle in there, but then there's good news on the other end, so it makes the bad news not stand out so much. But, I mean, that is essentially the fact that Auburn was the better team for three quarters of the game, got kind of robbed, got kind of screwed, and although in the second half or in the fourth quarter, Oklahoma may have seemed or may have appeared and may have been the better football team, the better football team doesn't always win the football game.
Yeah.
And that's simply why you go and play a football game. And again, that'll be a lot of a conversation for tomorrow.
Hugh Freeze was scheduled to speak with the media, as he has been this season, Mondays at 1:30. For obvious reasons, they pushed that back by an hour. He has since taken the podium, and I believe this is his first quote from his press conference. And it says, quote, "Our special teams play on Saturday was probably the difference in the scoreboard, even with everything else that happened."
And that's road B.
And that's road B, which we, again, will get to either later in today's show or most likely tomorrow.
And
what the rest of the week will hold. But the fact that Hugh Freeze had to sit there on Saturday night after the loss in his post-game press conference and was asked about the atrocity of officiating that took place, and he felt to where he couldn't speak about it. He started to and then said, "Yeah, I should probably keep my mouth shut on this one."
Yeah.
Josh Pate had a great take on this. I don't know if you saw about the 3-minute clip that he put out, and I retweeted it. Or just go on X and look up Josh Pate and scroll for a little bit. He posted something about, A, the officiating, and B, the world that we're in college football, and absolutely ripped it apart. And it was fantastic.
It is.
Because he called out the dark side of college football, the dark side of the SEC, the dark side of officiating, and the fact that it's a rigged system that we're in. And Josh Pate's the best in the game, and he said it better than anybody could. Auburn was robbed on Saturday, and Hugh Freeze and his team had to sit there and take it with no excuse, with no apology, with no repercussions, with no payback, not a thing. They got screwed and had to sit there and take it on the road and just let it happen.
Yeah, we're at the point where a grown man can't make another comment about another grown man, or else the company that you both work for is going to fine the other person that actually has to go and be interviewed after a performance. Josh Pate, again, I'm going to try and pull it up because I had it in our notes, but we were watching the Stephen Pearl video when I came into the studio when I was about to pull it up. But we're going to try and play it, but if not, we'll definitely still continue to break it down. Was talking about if Hugh Freeze goes out after the game and calls the officials out by name or just talks about the officials as a whole and about how poor it was, the SEC would go out and make a statement fining Hugh Freeze thousands of dollars for going against the sacred SEC, for going up against the name that's on your chest. But the officials can go and do this, this, and this, don't have to say anything, and are essentially making a very big impact on a coach who was already kind of on the hot seat as you made your way into this season. Not saying that that loss puts him right back there, but the way that we've talked about it, and as much as it sucks and it's unfortunate to say, coaches make their salary and make their living off of how many tallies are in a win column every single year. Despite how good of a man you are, how good of a leader you are, all of those things are great, but what pays the bills is how many tallies you get in a win column every single year. And if you don't get those, you essentially lose your job. And so Josh Pate essentially walked up and said, if you're the officials, why can't you freeze the man that you pay them? Mm-hmm. Why can't you fine them for making a very, very big impact in this game, whether that's directly or indirectly losing this football game? I've called it 13 points. Everybody says it's 17 points. I'll give them 13. Say that OU kicks a field goal on that drive that they score the touchdown on with John Mateer. The other, the 10-point swing with the fumble recovery that led to another field goal, that being, again, 10 points, and then three for OU in the other way. But how nice is it, out of all of, despite everything, how beautiful is it that the entire world got to watch this football game? That this was not some SEC Network Plus game that, yeah, you got to see and complain about if you watched it, but otherwise it's just Auburn fans going back to social media complaining like they always do.
It was the biggest game of the weekend.
It was the biggest game of the weekend. Everybody that had any sort of television, whether at your home or at a restaurant or wherever, was watching this football game. And you had every single eyeball watching what was going on, and you had just about every single person who was anybody using their two thumbs to go on social media and talk about how absolutely disgusting it was.
Yeah, it wasn't just Auburn fans. It wasn't just people like us that cover Auburn. It wasn't even people that just cover the SEC.
It wasn't even people that cover college football.
It was just people like, man, this is really happening right now? Did that really just happen?
And then retweeted it, and then retweeted that, and then retweeted that again.
Hugh Freeze says, there were quite a few calls that I disagree with. Again, Freeze is speaking with the media as we speak. I guess we could have pulled it up and played it for you, but we'll get to that eventually. He says, I have great respect for our SEC office and the job that they do. It's a fine line. You want so badly to defend your team, your players, your university. It's a difficult position. I try to have respect for all sides. He goes on to say, I voiced those concerns to the people that matters most. Ultimately, we can't do anything about it, so we have to turn the page to Texas A&M. Because there were several calls in that game on Saturday that absolutely directly impacted the result of this game. You can call it 13 points, you can call it 15 points, you can call it 17 points. I don't care. Auburn lost the football game for several reasons. Several reasons. Hugh Freeze mentioned special teams just now. You better believe it. We'll get to that later. Auburn lost this football game because the offense couldn't move the football and couldn't get away from the defense. That's another issue we'll talk about. But we all try so hard, some fans more than others, and especially us being professionals, as I put that in air quotes, we try not to step in here on a Monday and say, yeah, that officiating was bad. Yeah, those refs, they were terrible refs. Oh, they had it out against Auburn. They had money on the game, Christian. We try not to be those people.
You hate being the ones that are... We're not ones to talk about the referees, but... You feel like that's how every single complaint about referees are brought up.
After a loss, especially.
Yes.
But to your points, this was possibly the worst officiated game I think I've ever seen. And I think this outcome of this particular football game. Take the logos and the colors away from it. Team A beats Team B 24-17 at home.
Team C beat Team...
yeah. Team A beats Team B 24-17 at home, right? This might be the most officiated, impacted game I've ever witnessed. The impact, the outcome of this football game, this particular game, I think was impacted by the officials more than I've ever seen in a sporting event.
Yeah.
And that's really bad.
It's really bad.
Watched sports for 25 years. There's many people out there listening that have watched it for double that, if not more. I would love to hear or see or be given examples of officiating being that bad on that many crucial plays and still have a job on this Monday afternoon.
In a game that meant
everything.
That much.
Because it meant everything.
Because we've talked about it. There's been certain plays in certain games where, this team got away with it.
And it happens in every game.
It does. But the direct impact that it had is disgusting. I believe Pate also said that you have a multi-billion dollar company that's run by nickel and dime officiating crews. And it really is true, and I talked about this with you and our buddy Jack Hudden at our place when we were watching the game, of just simply, why are we at the point of, I've thought about it for a while, but SEC crews or Pac-12 crews or Big Ten crews or Sun Belt crew. It's, all right, this is the SEC crew right here. In basketball, you don't have that. Imagine it being, you have a game of the week in the SEC, but it's only the SEC broadcast can get it. The SEC can only get these guys to broadcast the games. No, you send the best broadcasters on the best networks to the best games of the week. Why can the officiating not be the same way? Now, why can it not be you start at the G5 level and you begin to work your way up? You're now at the Sun Belt. You're now at the American. You're now at the A-Sun. Okay, congratulations. You now get to call a lower Big 12 rated game or a lower Big 10 rated game. You did good then. You can continue to work your way up. Why is there not a hierarchy? Why is there not a tier list of this is the best game of the week? This is the game that's going to impact college football the most. So let's make sure that we have our best crew out there to go do it. It's what the major league, that's what Major League Baseball does.
Well, I think that's what they're supposed to do, but whether they follow that guideline or not, nobody knows. Who's out there checking to see if the best of the best are calling the best of best games?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying is if you don't have the SEC crew label and you just have this referee and this referee, you realize that, these six guys work really good together. They're really good at what they do. Who cares if it's an all SEC game? Who cares if it's a Big Ten SEC game? Bring the best officials to the best games.
Yeah.
And you feel like that would simplify a whole lot.
But don't worry, Auburn fans. In case you feel like we do, that Auburn got hosed in this game, and that the officials probably shouldn't be employed on this Monday, don't worry. Greg Sank and the SEC have your back. They heard you. They felt you. And they spoke directly to you. We talk about that next, as we wrap up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes, and we'll read this quickly. Won't read it all, but don't worry, Auburn. Auburn fans, for those of you that were frustrated with how Saturday went down in Norman, Greg Sankey heard you. Greg Sankey saw you. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to release a statement from the SEC office in Birmingham, of all places. It says, quote, in Saturday's Auburn at Oklahoma football game with 10:50 remaining in the second quarter, a pass was thrown to Oklahoma's number 5, resulting in a touchdown. Oklahoma participated in the previous play, Oklahoma number 5, that is, which was a first down play from the 22-yard line. After the first down play was completed, Oklahoma number 5 continued towards his team's sideline, but stopped just before reaching the Oklahoma sideline. NCAA Football Rule 9-2, Article 2 is labeled Unfair Tactics, with Paragraph B stating that no simulated replacements or substitutions may be used to confuse opponents, blah, 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 blah. The officiating crew did not properly interpret the action as a hideout tactic. If properly officiated, the second down play should have resulted in a team unsportsmanlike conduct penalty of 15 yards assessed from the previous spot.
Continue.
And here's the best part. Here's the kicker, right? Yeah, kicked in a certain area right here. Appropriate accountability will be applied without additional comment. Let me read that one more time. Appropriate accountability from the SEC office says appropriate accountability will be applied without additional comment.
All right, guys, come in, please. Take a seat and give me a wrist. Bad.
Bad. Bad official.
Don't do that again, guys. What have we told you?
How did you miss that?
Next. Bad.
Here's your assignment for this weekend.
Yeah. Don't do that again.
Have fun in Como.
We're actually going to allow you to go call Georgia, Alabama now this weekend. Have a great time.
Good call. Yeah. What a joke. I mean, what an absolute joke of a statement by the SEC, who clearly watched this game, as again, it was the biggest game in college football this weekend. They watched it. They saw it. They even addressed it in about the weakest, wimpiest way possible. Hey, Auburn, we know you got, yeah, you got kind of hosed in this game, and it wasn't officiated properly, but sorry?
And along with that, Auburn, Hugh Freeze, you better not say anything bad about us. Don't you forget who I am. We're the big bad SEC. You will not say a single negative thing about the game.
Yeah, we have your bank account number. We'll take that $25,000 out of your pocket so fast. And the SEC's hurting for money, right? I mean, they need the cash up there in Bamberham, right?
Yeah.
We got phone calls and texts to get to. We will get to hour number two, talking more football, more basketball, and who knows what else. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And, man, it's been a day. Saw somebody say it's been a Monday of all Mondays times 10. I mean, it's been a day. I will say that. And, Christian, I'll say this. I was in a great mood today. One of the better moods I've been in on a Monday after an Auburn football loss and just on a Monday in general. And then we started really getting into show prep and things, and I was like, great, now I'm gonna get fired up again, and I can't help it. And then we saw the basketball news, and so
it muddled everything momentarily, but
yeah,
it's coming back up.
Unfortunately, it's coming back, yeah. So we appreciate you being with us to start hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour of the show, you can go and catch it with the podcast at ESPNAU.com. We'll We'll post the show audio for you right after we're off the air at 4, so you can go and check that out, ESPNAU.com. We're also, you can have that and find that on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts as well. We did talk about the breaking news of Bruce Pearl retiring as Auburn men's basketball coach and Stephen Pearl being named the new men's basketball coach at Auburn University, and have started to get into thoughts on Auburn and Oklahoma. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Give us a call, football, basketball, and beyond. We do want to hear from you. We also have a bunch of people in the text box that we need to get to as well. You can shoot us a message there at 334-784-1067. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network is going to join us in just a little bit. But until then, we start hour number two by getting to the phone lines. We have Heath down in PCB, down in Panama City. What's going on, my man? How's your Monday doing?
A lot better than Sunday. Sunday was a lot to digest. I woke up with two hangovers, you might say, because I drank my sorrows away and had to wake up and stomach that once again. Guys, proud of my team. Defense showed up and showed out.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what I've seen, they exposed Oklahoma.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. And the way I see it, guys, initially my first thoughts from the callback from the scoop and score, which was blatantly obvious, the man took 2.5, almost 3 full steps with the ball secure and was rock loose. First thoughts, the SEC has a Heisman front runner, and they're going to protect that at all costs. And the way the game played out, I felt pretty sure about that the more and more I seen. Makir, I mean, I guess is their guy. I don't know. Auburn was in this the whole time. Auburn had a chance to win that game. Kind of falls back a little bit on Auburn. Cam Coleman running whole shot down the middle of the field on numerous occasions. Just couldn't get him the ball. You know, you make the comment that the world, you know, Auburn and the SEC and Oklahoma was on display for the world to watch. It was the game of the week. Well, all these other conferences have always said that there's corrupt stuff in the SEC. Well, the whole world got to see it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
It was put on display for the world to see.
How unfortunate is it that Auburn's now that guinea pig?
Haven't we not been the guinea pig?
Yes, but the fact of the matter is what you're saying is that everybody finally got to see that Auburn fans are not crazy. We're not insane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I get it. And you go to these sports pages and the Sooners are, oh, you guys are boo-hooing, you're crying. That's a crock, man.
Yeah.
We got hosed.
We're talking, yeah, we got some thoughts on that we talked about. We're about to bring up with that as well.
But, guys, I'm sure there's other people that like to get in and weigh in. But like I said, the SEC got exposed. Oklahoma's offense got exposed. And Mateer's not the Heisman hopeful that the SEC wants. I'm calling it like it is.
I love it. Heath, we appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening in from Panama City Beach as well. That's awesome to have several states represented here on ESPN 106.7. And again, I do want to remind people that today is definitely more so raw reaction emotions, especially on the officiating bad ways the game played out, right? Tomorrow.
The word that Heath used.
Corrupt
stuff.
Stuff. Yeah. Appreciate you, Heath. Today is more so raw emotion and just, know what I mean?
Tomorrow we do have a lot to break down, and that's what we will spend a lot of hour number one breaking that down tomorrow.
Because Auburn, against all odds, and even with all the stuff that happened out of your control, you still had a chance to win the football game. Tomorrow is going to be much more of that. But Heath brings up a lot of points there that I know we want to get to.
It's funny because, Heath, we were talking about that on Saturday night afterwards, because as soon as the game went final, John Mateer was obviously the face on every graphic of the win, and it showed his performance and the number of yards he had, and it said 0 interceptions. Not turnovers, just interceptions, and then he had 2 total touchdowns. Yes, he led a game-winning drive and had a great drive, made a great throw, which could also be talked about, but I think it was a catch.
It was. I think it was a
more,
catch.
That was just the emotion hangover following back into it.
I even told you watching it, I said, God, for Auburn's sake, I hope that's not a catch. But from my football take and perspective, yeah, I wanted that to be a catch because it is a catch.
Yes.
As unfortunate as it was.
As was the other one, which we have talked about.
Correct.
But, yeah, the fact that it was through for this many yards, didn't throw an interception, and it was like, okay, well, you had a fumble that was pretty costly in the red zone. But, yeah, going and doing everything you can to hype up who is no longer the Heisman front favorite anymore. It's Mr. Mendoza from Cal, now Indiana, who had a fantastic game, and we'll dive into a lot of that more tomorrow as well. But yeah, doing everything they can to protect their guy. And you talk about DJ Durkin's defense exposing Oklahoma's offense. Oklahoma can't run the football. There's been a lot of controversy and a lot of talk about whether Oklahoma is going to have success running the football this year. The answer is no. The answer is no. And you saw what DJ Durkin did, and you saw basically everything that we talked about last week come true. Everything we've talked about for the last 2 years with DJ Durkin's offense being true, or defense being true, of defense isn't going to lose you a game. Defense is going to keep you in every single game. They might give up yards, but when you get in between the 20s, when you get to the 30-yard line, that's when the defense really, really buckles down. And the few times that they did, you saw DJ Durkin's defense bow its neck, and once again, the defense was not an issue.
Yeah, we had somebody in the text box say, again, send us your messages there, 334-784-1067. You can send us a text, or you can give us a call at 334-321-1390. Says, only thing about the defense, when we've needed a stop over the last three seasons, it seems like we can't get it. And
I'll reverse that. Rather than needing a stop, you got stops for 3.5 quarters. Why can't, when the offense needs to go put a game-winning drive together, they can't do it?
That was going to be my response as well, is I understand that's how it looks at times. And you said it. John Mateer led a potential then-go-ahead game-winning drive. He did, and it looked really good, and Oklahoma capitalized. They did. They took the lead. And Auburn still had a chance. I don't see it as fair, and I know the fair is in August, but it's not fair to look at DJ Durkin's defense. Look at that Auburn defense and what they did on Saturday, right? You look at some of the stat comparisons here, right? Looking at the fact that Auburn had more first downs than Oklahoma. Auburn and Oklahoma were basically even in total yards. The Sooners didn't run for crap. They ran for 32 yards as a team. All right, 32 yards as a team.
Which is two more than what Auburn averages per game.
And Auburn dominated the time of possession, weirdly enough. Oklahoma was 3-for-12 on third down. I don't think it's fair. And I know where this texture's coming from, so I'm not calling them out particularly. But it's not fair to look at the Auburn defense and say, because you gave up that one big drive, you failed as a defense because of what you said, the fact that you played your tail off for 3.5 quarters. And yet again, here we are talking about an Auburn football loss where the defense did everything they could to keep you in the ball game, and the offense said, yeah, best I got's a 5-minute drive that doesn't get past the 10-yard line and get sacked in the end zone for a safety. Sorry. Offense said, yeah, best I've got's an overthrow to a wide-open Cam Coleman down the sideline. Offense said, yeah, that's cool defense, but best I got's a missed field goal. That's not okay to me to look at the defense and say, well, they couldn't get off the field. They couldn't stop Mateer when it mattered most. No, but they did everything they could to give the offense chance after chance after chance. That's what's frustrating here. And again, more on that deep dive tomorrow, but that is really unfortunate. Also, to get back on the officiating side, we also have a phone call as well. Somebody says, ain't no way they would have let that officiating happen to Alabama or Texas. Ain't no way a game gets officiated that bad.
Well, Oklahoma's their new golden boy.
And I think he makes a good point, Heath does, about John Mateer. I've seen a lot of people talking about that. Somebody in the text box, Clay from Montgomery, says, I didn't even recognize those officials. How did they get a top 25 game on national television?
Funny enough, I don't have complete confirmation of this.
I know where you're going.
But we had a discussion about this, and so I will say I'm pretty sure I'm right. But I think those were the same officials that called the Auburn Ball State game.
If somebody can confirm that, let us know. 784-1067. I've also seen this narrative going around social media today, too. You know what tomorrow night was supposed to be?
The reveal of the Common Four opponents.
The permanent opponents were supposed to have the SEC was supposed to have like a whole schedule show.
Yeah, it was like a watch party, almost.
On each SEC team's three permanent opponents. That was supposed to be tomorrow night. Funny enough,
because Auburn, hashtag Auburn, hashtag Oklahoma, hashtag SEC are all trending on social media for some reason right now.
Funny enough, it's just a coincidence that the permanent opponents got leaked this morning. How fascinating is that?
That's wild.
And we haven't even talked about it. More on that whenever we get time this week. But it is funny how they just magically found their way onto the internet. 334-321-1390. We get back to the phone lines. We're throwing you straight on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Joe Bob.
All right, Joe Bob, what's on your mind?
Hey, you know, what you said about the offense is fair enough, but I think you've got to blame the special teams for a lot of that.
Yes.
I mean, because twice, once they fielded a punt inside the 5-yard line, and then twice they got a block in the back on a return. So it's kind of hard when you're putting your offense inside the 10-yard line and expecting them to take it down the field.
You're exactly right.
With that crew, you know, who knows? But the funny thing, you know, I mean, well, one good thing is the offense did not turn the ball over again, did they?
Again.
You're right. Four games to start the season in a row, two of them being on the road against P4 opponents, and Auburn did not turn the football over.
Right, but the funniest thing out of the whole thing was Brent Venables complaining about the refereeing.
Isn't that how
they got that?
Go ahead.
I think it was on that pick call. I think it was on that pick call.
Oh yeah. Which one?
He was complaining about the. Yeah, right. The one that they did call.
Yeah.
Well, they actually called two.
They did call both of them. One was before halftime, and then Arbuckle after giving. Auburn or the official the finger after celebrating. I don't know if you've seen that video, but that's on social media as well. But said, you know what? It got called one time. Let me try and sneak it in there again the second drive of the second half. And it did. And, yeah, well, that was when the complaints came.
And I wouldn't say both of them because there were a couple of them I thought that were questionable that could have been called.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it really brings into question, Joe Bob, how many illegal plays Oklahoma has in their bag. And honestly, how can you blame them for going into a game and saying, well, we're going to try as many of them as we can and see if they call us out for it or not? Because guess what? It worked. They got away with it. It's a nasty way to win, but they walk away victorious. Nobody's going to say anything to them. And my goodness, you can't tell their fans that they cheated in this game. You can't tell Oklahoma fans that at all on this Monday.
Well, they're out in the middle of nowhere, so they don't have much. Well, never mind. the other thing I was going to say is you were exactly right earlier, too. Until you start holding the officials accountable publicly, and I don't mean just saying they've been disciplined or something like that, have them stand up after the game or in a weekly press conference, you know, like with a weekly SEC press conference, and have them answer questions. Until that happens, you know, you can say all day long they're held accountable, but nobody sees it.
Or at worst, Jim Bob, get to the point where you can easily find the names of the officials that call every game rather than having to search for 30 minutes to see who's on the call.
Right. And I think, basketball, they announce, they have that, don't
yes.
they? I know they do in the mock score.
And you do for baseball. I mean, you know, in any college or professional baseball game, you know exactly who every umpire, every official is. You can find it, like Christian said, if you dig for football. And that's not to go and call them out on social media or do anything ill will.
No, but
for
almost to have a track record for the officials.
Yeah.
Right. right, guys. Have a great day.
Appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We do got to get to break, but unfortunately, that idea is so good that it'll never happen.
No.
It'll never happen. A, because there's already a shortage of officials across all sports, which is unfortunate, but...
And halfway understandable.
And it is. It absolutely is. And we've had that conversation plenty of times on this particular program. And so we're not going to go down that rabbit hole right now.
No.
But you understand the shortage, yes. But if you're the SEC or any other major conference or any other major league, right, you gain and benefit zero from putting your officials on the stand, which is basically what it would be. It wouldn't become a press conference. It would become trial.
Yeah.
And to an extent, that's not right. That's not fair, right? You see how coaches get treated in press conferences. The gotcha media is all over the place. Every journalist and media person appears to be that way. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying that appears
to
be...
That's what gets seen on social media.
Correct. That's what it would become with officials. They would be on trial. But that doesn't mean they're above criticism and accountability. And that's where frustration starts to set in.
No, they are.
They are. I'm saying they shouldn't be. But it'll never happen.
But they are. How dare you even... Honestly, I'm going to fine you for bringing their names up.
You're right. So, good points there. More to get to right after this. Phone lines are continued to be open. You got about 10 minutes if you want to get in. Now's the time to do it because Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, our weekly Monday guest, joins us at 3:30. So, if you want to give us a call, do it right now. 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. We're back after this.
Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We got another phone call. Let's get to it now. 334-321-1390. Spectre, I know better than to say happy Monday to you, so I'll offer up a Monday to you, sir.
Well, I'm reliving last year all over again.
Oh, no.
You realize in all our losing games last year, most we scored was 21 points against Oklahoma. In a losing cause. Same thing in 23. We couldn't score over 20 points in a losing game. So what is the problem? The problem is our offense. When we get to SEC play, it seems like our offense is inferior to other SEC teams. I don't know if it's the quarterback. I mean, he had an awful game yesterday or Saturday. I watched the game over and over again. He sat in the pocket too long, held the ball too long.
Yep.
He could have ran the ball. He could have took a Mack truck up those holes. And number zero, what's his name?
For running back? Damari Alston.
Damari took a man off his legs.
Yeah, he did. Several times. Him and Jeremiah Cobb had some big blocks in that game.
Yeah, and he still had the ball in his hand. The quarterback still had the ball in his hand, and he could have ran then, but he waited for the defender to get up on his feet and get tackled by that defender.
Yeah, I know what play you're talking about.
Yes, it's awful. Awful play.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, our offensive line did a pretty good job in the first quarter. But from that point on, when the first penalty hit – for illegal procedure, or it just snowballed from there. Even though our defense, bless their hearts, I mean, they kept us in the game. And to the final moments of the game, the final 5 minutes of the game, they kept us in it. And we still couldn't do anything. I heard Jason Campbell on the radio say for the first time, and all week long I've been saying we need to control the tempo. We need a fast tempo. 3 minutes left in the game. Jason Campbell said, we need to do tempo. We need to do up tempo. Too late for that now.
Yeah, I don't think Auburn knows what up tempo is, unfortunately, Spector.
No. Well, I'll talk more later in the week, guys.
Appreciate the call, Spector. We appreciate you listening as well. 334-321-1390. Just want to continue to remind folks, we have a lot more thoughts on the X's and O's of this game and how this went down. But, yeah, I mean, I agree pretty much with everything Spector said. To go back to the point from a year ago, which has rendered its dirty head yet again this year.
The one thing, and I'm in complete agreement, but this might just be what I'm telling myself, but I think it's also very true.
Is this about Jackson, where you're going?
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming to Jackson's defense just a little bit in this game, because I know that there were 10 sacks in the game, and I'd be willing to say that half of them were from receivers not getting open and holding the football too long. The other ones were a lot more of a factor of just because Oklahoma had a fantastic defensive line. But coming to Jackson's defense just a little bit, I think it was implemented in his brain. It was hardwired into his brain that if you come to Auburn, they've had so many turnovers with the quarterback. You've had so many issues with turnovers and interceptions and not being able to control drives that I am 100% positive all offseason Hugh Freeze says, don't you turn that ball over. Don't you throw that ball into double coverage. If he's not open, you're not throwing the football. And the entire time, everybody's sitting there, Cam's one-on-one, Singleton's one-on-one, Malcolm's one-on-one, Horatio is one-on-one. Let those guys win a 50-50 ball. I just have a feeling that in Jackson's headset all offseason long was, if you don't have anybody open, you do not throw an interception here. And I feel like I saw a little bit of that. And I don't think it's necessarily the fact of Arnold having the longest passing attempts in college football without an interception. I don't think he thinks of it necessarily like that. But it's just the fact of, oh gosh, I cannot make a mistake right here. Especially if I'm in somebody's, if I'm on the wrong side of the 50-yard line, I cannot make a mistake right here. So rather than going and making a play or taking off, I'm going to kind of sit here and wait for this receiver that I think is about to be open. Wait one more second, two more seconds, and by then, that block that was held for 2.5 seconds turns into an 8-yard sack.
There are two sides to every coin, and I think you're on to something with that one. Spector's point about penalties as well on the offensive line, I think that hurt you. And somebody said earlier, and Hugh Freeze mentioned it in his opening press conference today, special teams could be blamed for you losing this football game. We'll talk more about this as we go. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, our longtime Monday guest, he joins us coming up next.
Halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. And we get to the phone line to welcome in our Monday 3:30 guest. And it was kind of a weird situation today because I texted Jacob Hillman and said, hey, are we still good to go? I know the weekend didn't go the way we wanted it to. And he said, yeah, we'll make it happen. And then earlier in the day, he said, well, I guess I got to come on now because I was double the news to talk about, Mr. Hillman. And so we've been kind of confused on how to ask people how their Monday's going. So I hope you're doing well.
Listen, it's been a good Monday. And here's the thing. This is something that we're obviously going to talk about with Coach Pearl and his stepping down, as well as Stephen Pearl's elevation to head coach. And that's the thing. This is something that we're going to honor Bruce Pearl and talk about his legacy and how important he was to Auburn and Auburn basketball over these last 11 years.
Well, there is a lot to get to, and we will start on the Bruce Pearl side of things. It's something that – we knew was coming eventually, right? The idea of Bruce Pearl coaching at Auburn forever was never a reality. He has been on several shows and podcasts and interviews and things and has said, yeah, I don't see myself coaching all that much longer. But I think a lot of people may have been blindsided today, but I think we were starting to hear little rumblings as well. Just your overall thoughts on the retirement of Bruce Pearl, and we'll talk about Steven separately in a moment, but just your thoughts on the retirement of Bruce Pearl from Auburn men's basketball.
Yeah, you're right. And kind of to the point of how he's talked about it over the last few months, over the last few years, quite frankly, and he's not been shy about talking about retirement, and you know he doesn't want to coach until he's 70 years old and things like that. And obviously today he decided that it was time. And I think that what he leaves is obviously an incredible legacy of Final Fours, SEC titles, but more importantly just the growth of this Auburn basketball program and the investment that so many folks have really, like I said, invested in and they are committed to for years and generations and beyond. That is because of him, and that is part of why he is retiring. And you know that 14-minute video that Auburn men's basketball posted on its social medias, where he's kind of leaving that letter that he's you know talking through mm-hmm. of why he's leaving and what he leaves behind. And again, like I said, obviously you can list off all the accolades, whether it's the Final Fours or the NBA draft picks or whatever it is. But I think most importantly, he brought an energy and life back to this program that was not there 11 years ago prior to his arrival. And it really is special what he has done. I know for me personally and plenty of others that are, whether it's my age or a little bit older, a little bit younger, but he shaped the Auburn experience for so many that it would have been so different if it weren't for him and what the success the basketball program has had. And just even when it wasn't so successful, I look back to that COVID year that Auburn had the tournament ban and didn't win very many games. Still, just even with that, just a special 4 years it was for me to be watching Auburn basketball and front row every single game. And even through now working for Auburn, it's still so special. And I know so many others that feel the same way. And it'll never be forgotten. And I can't. Again, he said thank you, Auburn, and I say thank you to Coach Pearl because of what he's done for this university.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who have been Auburn basketball fans and been around the program and have covered the program and have just – it's been part of their lives for so long throughout the Bruce Pearl era. I think everybody could say that right there, Jacob, about thanking Bruce Pearl for what he did. I said earlier in the show when we talked about it to open up this Monday, I said that not only is Bruce Pearl – clearly the greatest coach that's ever been at Auburn basketball, I think there's a legitimate argument that he's the greatest coach that Auburn University has ever hired. What do you think about that statement?
Well, another thing he mentions in that video is his relationship with Coach Pat Dye, mm-hmm. who obviously passed away back in 2020. And I think that is something that is someone he very much looked up to and wants to emulate in his post-coaching career. And that's why, you know, he mentions the politics and, you know, the rumors circulating about him potentially running for Senate, and that's not what he's going to do right now. He's going to be Auburn senator, in his words. And he's going to move into that kind of administrative role. And I think that shows how much he cares about Auburn and, as you said, to be the greatest coach in Auburn history, certainly basketball history. He is up there with the Shug Jurdens, the Pat Dyes of the world, the David Marshes, the Greg Williams in Equestrian. There's so many other names you can list off. Nick Kleiner, currently with men's golf, is right there with his longevity, those are the names that are obviously up there with the best of the best of Auburn athletic coaches, and Coach Bruce Pearl is right there. And, you know, his legacy is going to continue to grow as he continues to lead Auburn and be an ambassador for this university. And like you said, it's just something, it's so special. And it's hard to believe that it's already over. You know, the 11 years went by so fast, but here we are.
We're talking with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7 during the Monday edition of On the Line. And although the first name may be different, the last name is staying the same as Stephen Pearl works his way into the new head coach's office. Was already having some pretty big responsibilities. Again, almost all of the defensive success that you saw Auburn have is because of the game planning and the X's and O's of Stephen Pearl. What do you expect here in the near future? Maybe not necessarily wins and losses, but with responsibilities as now as Stephen Pearl is Auburn basketball's new head coach.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I think that Bruce has certainly prepared this coaching staff for this over the last few years, as they have taken on lots of responsibility, whether it's in game planning and recruiting, in practice even, where it's not going to be anything new for an assistant, now head coach Stephen Pearl, to run a practice. And obviously today was the first day of practice, and it's just going to be different. That's all it is. And I think what will keep this thing together, and the reason there shouldn't be any lost hope, any pessimism or anything like that, or any panic from any Auburn fans, is the fact that this coaching staff has been together for quite some time. And I think the core of Stephen Pearl, Mike Burgomaster, Ira Bowman, Corey Williams, Ian Borders, Maddox Jeffries, Marquise Daniels, so many other names that there are too many to mention, that will be the reason that this thing keeps on running. And they've been the catalyst for the last several years, even for these programs, for the Final Four run last year, for the SEC title last year, for the SEC title with Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler. So it's one of those things where while Bruce Pearl was ultra important, he wasn't the only thing keeping this train running. And I think that they're set up for success, and Stephen Pearl is ready for the moment. And that's really the biggest thing, is that this coaching staff has been together for so long and is ready to keep it going.
Unfortunately, on an obvious time crunch here, Hillman, we have one segment with you,
right,
a week, going around 15 minutes or so. And so we will move on to talk about what we thought was going to be the headline of today, and will continue to be the headline throughout the week, about Auburn football as they go to Norman, their first SEC game of the year, their first SEC road game of the year, obviously. And it did not go the way that Auburn was hoping it would. 24-17, Oklahoma takes down Auburn on Saturday afternoon. There's a lot of directions you could go with this, and that we've tried to go with this today as well. So once again, I'll kind of toss it to you, my friend, and just kind of let you give your thoughts on what happened and kind of where Auburn goes from here.
Yeah, I'll do my best. And if we were having this conversation 40 hours ago, I might not be as nice about this first part. But we got to address, obviously, the one major thing. The SEC came out on Saturday night and mentioned that it should not, that first touchdown by Oklahoma should not have counted. It was a deception play and whatnot. And what I'll say about the officiating, and there's a lot that fans and folks have pointed towards, whether it's an official being out of position and having his back turned to the play and just having no shot at making a call, or the review team in Birmingham overturning a fumble recovery for a touchdown and calling it an incomplete pass, and then later in the game kind of not having that same motive on the same type of play. Whatever it is, it's just something that it's kind of frustrating when there's no transparency. And at the end of that statement, the SEC released, it's just they'll handle it without any additional comment. I mean, I don't know what that means, or no one does except for those in the SEC office. And that's kind of the most frustrating part of the whole ordeal. So regardless of all of that, You know, Auburn had 13 or so penalties, and many of them were procedural or just kind of lack of focus and false starts that really cost Auburn drives, penalties on special teams, big holds and blocking the backs that cost Auburn really good field position. Those are the things that, regardless of what happened with the officiating, if you clean those things up, you probably have a good chance to still win the game. And I think that's the kind of the key going forward, and what Coach Freeze and the staff want to focus on and make sure it's cleaned up before two very key games on the road at Texas A&M and then at home against Georgia, and especially with the bye week after Texas A&M. Because there are certainly flashes with this Auburn offense, and we know the defense is really good. It was stout most of that game until that game-winning drive for Oklahoma.
Right.
But the offense certainly had its chances to execute. It didn't run the ball quite the way it wanted to, but you had chances with the big play in the air. And I thought that, with the exception of the sacks number, which could be attributed to a number of things, it really was a decent day for the Auburn offense that just couldn't quite punch it in the end zone, whether it was coming off, it was a pass off the fingertips of Cam Coleman or, a pass just overshot or underthrown, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That was kind of the key there.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on the Monday edition of On the Line, our longtime Monday 3:30 guest. And as we are going to continue talking throughout the week, there is not a whole lot of time to be upset about what happened, because you get done with one road game against a top 15 team, and now you get to take a road trip to a top 10 team as Hugh Freeze and Auburn head to Texas A&M this weekend before a bye next week. What's one thing, Hillman, before we let you plug all the programming notes coming up tonight and throughout the rest of the week, what's one thing that you want to see from Auburn this coming weekend against Texas A&M, whether it's something you want to see them do, something you don't want to see them do, just one thing you want to see from Auburn that you think will allow the Tigers to try and pull off the upset?
Yeah, I tend to lean towards the run game. I think that there's a lot in special teams as well as, penalties and whatnot that I think I could say would be my answer. But I think the key is running the football. And Jeremiah Cobb is still second in the SEC in rushing yards. Demari Alston looked pretty good in his first game back to action. So I think Auburn's going to need to go out and establish the run, and that will open up the passing game as well and should alleviate some of the pressure on the quarterback. So that's the biggest key for me, is running the football and letting Jeremiah Cobb and Demari Alston do their thing.
Tonight is Tiger Talk over on Wings 94.3. Tell the people what they need to know about that. Maybe an audible being called or something, I'm not sure, with all the news and everything. And then what the folks need to know for Auburn and Texas A&M Saturday at 2:30.
Yeah, not quite an audible being called, but we're still going to talk Auburn football as well as Auburn football, the soccer version of it, with Coach Hugh Freeze and Coach James Armstrong. Auburn gets its first SEC victory under Coach Armstrong against Texas A&M on Friday, and then ties Mississippi State, his former school, last night in Starkville. And what a game, I'll say, that was. Auburn led for most of that second half and just gave up a late goal for that tie. But it's still a big tie, a big draw, a big point for the Tigers in the SEC standings as they go on the road to number 12 and are able to lead for most of that second half. And, we'll have that at 6 Central at Baumhauer's Victory Grill on Bent Creek Road. And also to mention volleyball as well, the Tigers set a program record with 20 blocks in its non-conference finale against South Alabama. It's 3-0 in the Alabama Showdown, 9-2 overall in non-conference play.
Boom.
And we'll be back home on Friday to host Alabama for its SEC opener. That's free to attend. Soccer will be in action at home as well on Thursday against LSU. That's at 6 Central. And free to attend at the Auburn Soccer Complex. So plenty of action while Auburn football goes on the road to Texas A&M on Saturday at 2:30 Central. We'll have coverage at 11:30 a.m. on the Auburn Sports Network and Wings 94.3 FM. So all your coverage, follow at AU Sports Network on Twitter and X, so that way you can keep track with all of it this week.
Hillman, we appreciate you and your time as always, my friend. I know it's a big day. There's a lot going on, and so we always appreciate you and look forward to this conversation every week. And we'll do it again this time next Monday.
Thanks for your time, War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Again, our longtime Monday 3:30 guest here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up what's been a whirlwind of a show on this Monday afternoon. We're back to wrap it up after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network for joining us, as he does every Monday. We just wrapped up our conversation with him covering all the biggest topics in Auburn athletics today, and we barely were able to cover all the topics of Auburn athletics with the breaking news earlier today of Bruce Pearl announcing his retirement and will no longer be the head coach of Auburn men's basketball. His son, Stephen Pearl, will take over as the new head coach of Auburn men's basketball. Talked a lot about that today. Also got some of our thoughts out about Auburn football against Oklahoma. We got a lot of your thoughts out there as well on the phone calls and the text messages. And so a lot of engagement there. And then just talked with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. So if you want to hear our initial thoughts on all those big topics, you can go back and listen to today's podcast version of the show. We take the audio, put it up for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com or wherever you get your podcast. And this is going to be... it's going to be a busy week. It's going to be a strategic week of trying to get all of our thoughts out there, trying to hit all the different angles and talking points. I understand we did not hit all of them today, but on a day like today, it's nearly impossible with only 2 hours. Days like today, we could have done a five-hour radio show and not hit everything that we wanted to talk about, because more thoughts on Bruce Pearl retiring, more thoughts on Stephen Pearl taking over,
what that means on and off the court.
Correct. Transfer portal, recruiting, on the floor, differences, right? Likes
don't
and dislikes.
Don't throw anybody in the heart attack with that.
Today. I mean, it's truth, though. It's the it truth, is. Right? So all of those talking points.
Sorry to cut you off. For those that don't know, tomorrow, because of a new coach, the transfer portal opens for Auburn basketball for 30 days. So.
Yes, it does. And so all of that, right, we still have to address. Then with football, for Auburn in particular, still want to address the offense. That was abysmal. The offensive mindset and game plan and play calling, which was abysmal.
The last drive.
The last drive, which may have been the worst thing I've ever seen. The defense that did its job, again, for Auburn. The special teams, which Hugh Freeze said today was the reason you lost the football game, or the biggest reason you lost the football game. Talk about Oklahoma a little bit more, because... they're a joke. Talk about officiating, because they're a joke. And then everything else that happened in college football this weekend. All the other results in the SEC, all the other results in college football, permanent opponents were leaked out today, and how convenient that was.
Funny that we're going to have to talk about that tomorrow when it was supposed to be released tomorrow.
The ACC just voted to approve a 9-game conference schedule for football. That's on the docket, too. So
I'm so sorry that we have to push back my usual Monday 3 o'clock favorite segment of just how much I love the AP poll.
Well, yeah, you're right. Add that to the list.
So that's – I know. That's we have that. We have got so many thoughts on the AP poll. High school updates with Auburn High and Lee Scott Academy, another 2-0 Friday night. So better be here tomorrow.
Yeah, I would recommend tuning in tomorrow, 2-4. We'll be back right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.